I'm not blowing everybody out of the water like this afternoon, am I? Okay, we're not screeching. Okay, that's a good thing. Oh, this evening I kind of want to start off with, in my opinion, one of the greatest disservices the American church has done at this point in time. And some of you are thinking, okay, well, let's go down the list of all the disservices. And no, we're not going to go down a giant list. But I want to talk about one thing that has always bothered me. And it's not so much that it's preached about or that it's told to people, but it just kind of flies under the radar, if you will. And that is this mindset that missions is only someplace else. It's this mindset that we have missionaries that we send all over the world, and that's the only time that they evangelize. And those are the people who do the evangelism. Not me and you, not in our homes, not in our communities. And that's just wrong. The heart of that is just wrong. And you go, well, what is the American church doing about that? Well, to be honest, nothing. For a lot of different denominations and what have you, they'll have different mission, how would you put it? You'll have different missionaries come in, and they'll just come in, they'll talk, tell everybody what they're doing, and people believe that, hey, I'll give you some money, you go out, guess what? That's the same as me going out. It's because I sent my dollar with you. And that's wrong. Pastor was talking about the third thing they prayed about was evangelism, specifically here in Nevada. Studies have actually been done stating that the least churched population in America is right here in Nevada. And we just completely missed the boat. You go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, we all know it. It's the Great Commission. I'll read it right here. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Did you catch what Jesus says? Teach all nations. Teach all nations. What does all mean? All. How are you supposed to teach all nations if you don't start in your own? You can't. We have to always have a Great Commission mindset. But we don't. And it starts with the church. And one of the things that I have actually talked to different pastors about, and I have heard them say this, is there are certain parts of Scripture they will avoid like the plague. Some of them, take the Old Testament, throw it out. We don't want to talk about big, mean God. We want to talk about nice God in New Testament. Stay away from Revelation, because that's just too much for babies to handle. The one that makes me laugh the most is they'll skip over the Acts. They'll skip over Acts of the Apostles. And why is that? Because we're looking at church history. We're looking at what people have done. And we see there's a bunch of evangelism going on. Is there not? There's people going out to these different nations. But guess what? It started in the home before it went out. So tonight, I'd like us to start by going into the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. And I want us to have the Great Commission mindset. The word that we have for this year is continue. We have the foundation being built, and now we're looking at it as continuing, as in continuing to build a home. And I looked up the word continue. The definition, according to Oxford, is to persist in an activity or process, to recommence or resume after interruption. But see, here's my question for all of you. For those who have ever built anything, whether it be a house, whether it be a car, whether it be anything, does building a house always go nice and smooth? I can't even tie my shoes without having some sort of an inconvenience or issue, especially with a year and a half year old. It gets really fun when he wants to tie dad's shoes. No, it's going to come with its issues. There's going to be problems. And as I was praying this week over the message, the word persevere came to mind. There's going to be issues when you're building a house, when you're fixing the plumbing, when you're doing much anything. There's going to be issues in life too. It's never just smooth sailing. One of my favorite sayings, you're either coming out of a storm, getting ready to go into it, or in the middle. But how do you get through it? You have to persevere. The definition for persevere is to continue in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty or with little or no prospect of success. And as I was going through the beginning of the 14th chapter, that's the word that stuck out to me. And that's what we read here. As we pick up in verse 1, we're reading about the Apostle Paul and Barnabas as they travel to Iconium. And we'll read verse 1 through 7. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that we are able to gather together and to dive into your word, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. But most importantly, we thank you for your Son, for going to the cross, to save us. And Lord, we pray that your word speaks loudly to us this evening so we can take it and go out into the world with it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point I want to bring up tonight, and we read here going off of the first verse, is these boys had courage. They didn't just persevere, but they had courage with perseverance. And you might read the first verse and go, well, okay, yeah, they went to the synagogue and they ended up speaking. That takes some courage to do. Let's read it again. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. Doesn't sound too bad. You had some that believed, others that didn't believe. That doesn't take too much courage. Context. You have to go back to the 13th chapter. You have to realize what has happened to Paul and Barnabas before this. See, they landed in Antioch, not of Syria, but of Pisidia. Nor of Antioch, California. That is a little too far and off the map at that point in time. Paul preaches. There are those who end up believing. There are those who end up disagreeing. And they end up in a little bit of a tussle, let's say. And things don't go so well for them. Going back just a couple verses to chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Let's just be honest. They probably were not asked very nicely to leave the vicinity. When I was a younger man, I did a little bit of security work at certain places in Phoenix, in the Phoenix area. 90% of the folks that I asked to leave left nicely. Not all of them really wanted to leave when I asked so nicely. There was usually a tussle. There was usually some grabbing. There was usually, somebody please help me with this guy. But the difference is I wasn't so upset with the person I was asking to leave. The Jews, the honorable women, the chief men of the city, they were just a little bit upset with what was being preached. So needless to say, Paul and Barnabas probably were grabbed by a few different ways and thrown out and chased off. Then they end up running down to Iconium. Iconium is anywhere from 80 to 90 miles away from Antioch. And they would have traveled this road that in English is the Imperial Road, but it was the Via Sebaste. This was one of the most traveled routes in this particular area. This is the route that is paved. This is the route that is set up for the Romans to march their soldiers through. It's perfect. But still, even under perfect conditions, the guys are walking. So guess what? They're talking to everybody they probably can. They're having a good time with this. one of the things as I was studying this week is the word Iconium means little image. And it comes from the Greek word icon, which is image. And according to Greek mythology, Prometheus and Athena ended up recreating humanity there after a devastating flood by making images of people from mud and breathing life into them. Doesn't that sound a little familiar? Haven't we read that a time or two? Usually on January 1st for most people, they'll read that over and over again, starting back in Genesis. But see, these guys went through this issue. They went to the synagogue in Antioch. They went out into the town. They upset the town. They get thrown out. Did they throw in the towel? Did they call it a day? No. They moved on. They moved on to Iconium. It takes courage to stand up and do what they did. It takes courage to go out and tell the truth. It takes courage for us to stand up to that loved one who is living wrong and we go, "You're not living right." It takes courage to tell the person that you have never seen before in your life, "I don't know what you got going on, but I'd like to pray for you." That's scary. That's nerve-wracking. For some reason, when y'all get to know me a little bit better, and yes, that was the Southern, y'all. When you get to, I would say Roll Tide, but War Eagle, sorry. I just love messing with Alabama fans. It's just a good time. My brain works a little bit different. Bob understands it, Candy sees it. When I read this, I read these guys are going into the synagogue. They already know what is going to happen. They already have it in their mind. We're going to have some issues eventually. Guaranteed. And for some reason, my mind goes to the movie Braveheart. One of my favorite movies. And there is a small scene in it where William Wallace, Mel Gibson, way prettier than I would assume the original William Wallace looked like, is right there on a battlefield. The Scottish are about to make a deal with the British. We're going to just end this. William Wallace gets the guys riled up, and he starts to go out into the middle of the field. And everybody's going, "What is he doing?" And he says, "To pick a fight." That is what these guys were doing. They know they're going to rub people the wrong way. You know when you tell that loved one there is a problem, there may end up being a problem between you and them. It takes courage. But you have to. You have to persevere with that courage to tell the truth. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That's a God-given courage. That is a God-given courage. There is a big difference between a God-given courage and me just being a stubborn-headed mule. Somehow my wife always knows the difference. William Bill Thrasher, pastor and author, wrote this. There is a difference between a fleshly stubbornness and a godly perseverance. The former insists on getting one's will done in heaven, and the latter determines to get God's will done on earth. Is it a hill worth dying on? Is it you wanting your way that way, or you wanting God's will this way? That's a big difference. The next thing these gentlemen did, and my second point being, they trusted in the Lord, verses 2 through 4. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. We don't like resistance, do we? You talked earlier, is it too warm in here? Is it too cold? We like our regulated temperatures. We like it when the car is working just perfect. We like it when the kids are quiet. We really like it when the kids are quiet, okay? I'll be honest about that. But we like when people agree with us. We like when people are just shaking their head. Yes, yes, sir, you're right. I'm following you. We don't like to be uncomfortable. But these guys ran headfirst into an uncomfortable situation. One of the great truths of any ministry, Tim Keller wrote this: the greater the effectiveness of a ministry, the greater the resistance and opposition. If you are in ministry and you have everything going perfect, you might have to take a very long look in the mirror and listen to what you're actually telling people. There's going to be opposition. And Jesus made it perfectly clear. We read in John 15, verses 18 and 19. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. That's hard to hear, isn't it? Nobody wants to be hated. If you actually enjoy being hated, I really need to be praying for you very hard. Because that's just weird, okay? That's just out there. But the world will hate you if you are preaching the gospel. The world, which is the funniest thing, and we see it on right now with all these different news outlets. You have this group, you have that group, you have... Okay, I'm not trying to get into politics, but I think it is absolutely hilarious when I see college students saying LGBTQA plus TUVXY, whatever alphabet soup they want to throw in, are saying they're pro-Palestinian. Go there and find out what happens when you start preaching that over there. Tell them to coexist, see how well that goes over. It ain't going to happen. But what makes me laugh is we read here in verse 3. God blesses what was being said by the apostles. God blesses the word. And how does he do that? By granting them signs and wonders. Healing the blind, healing the sick, so on and so forth. We don't know from that snippet. But they're performing these signs and wonders. Did it change any minds? Did it change any hearts? No. No, it didn't. So we have to ask the question, why is that? Because they're preaching the gospel. They're preaching God's grace. And here's the problem. God's grace causes division. John 3, verse 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Nobody wants to have that curtain pulled away and their sins exposed. Nobody wants to stand there and say, this is what I have done. No, because they like the darkness. They want to keep doing that. They want to live in that. The darkness hates the light. I found this sentence, and I absolutely love it. If the gospel message shared is not both uniting and dividing, in fact, you can be sure that the true gospel is not being preached. Father against son, mother against daughter, it cuts like a knife. It separates. And these apostles had to trust in God when they were telling people this. They had to trust in God that they were doing the right thing. What I absolutely love, the first two words of verse 3, long time. That means the guys didn't show up on a Friday afternoon and by Monday they were gone. No, they spent some time there. They spent time ruffling feathers. They spent time preaching the word. And they trusted in God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's foolishness. It's foolishness to those who don't want to hear it. One of the things that makes me laugh is when we talk about the creation of the world. We automatically, people want to talk about how many years the earth has been around. Some will say 20 billion years. Some will say 60 billion years. We'll stand up and say, well, going off the Bible, 5 to 6. Well, by my math, me and the guy who say 20 million years are a lot closer than the guy who says 20 to 60 million years. But I'm still the idiot. This word is the power of God. But to the unbeliever, it's nothing more than foolishness. The last part that I want to talk about is not just did these gentlemen persevere with courage and persevere trusting in God, but they also persevered with something that I'll just be the first to say it. I am the worst about it, but it's a very important word, discernment. I didn't hear an amen from my wife on that one, so I'm feeling kind of good. Verses 5 through 7. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Remember how I said my brain works a little bit different than most folks? I automatically go back to an old country song by Kenny Rogers called The Gambler. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away. And from the looks of it, these guys knew when to run. They took off. They ended up, they knew through, I'm sure, a lot of time in prayer. Because there's other times that we read, they didn't leave when they probably should have. But they did. They ended up taking off. And that's something that we can definitely need to take to heart. There's a saying, we have 2 ears, 2 eyes, and 1 mouth. That means we need to look and listen twice as much as we do speak. We have to pray for the right time to share the gospel. We have to pray for the right time so that we don't turn into Job's buddies who end up kicking him while he's down. We have to pray for the right time. I'm just going to give you a heads up. If your best friend, your sister, your brother, if their dog ended up passing away, don't share the gospel 2 seconds later. Why is that? Is it any less important? No. But you have to pray for discernment because you end up running them away faster. You end up using the gospel as a thumping tool more than what it is meant for. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given. They seen what was going on. They heard what was going to happen. They prayed about it. And guess what? They went on. The message continued. They obeyed God. They kept going on. They shook the dust off and continued. They had discernment. These guys persevered with courage, trusting in the Lord, and discernment. I'd like to close at this point by bringing up this. What is the goal of building a house? To build a house. To have a house standing. Is it going to go smooth? Absolutely not. But it's worth persevering to see it to the end. The goal of a Christian life is to fulfill the Great Commission by spreading the gospel of Christ. That is absolutely worth persevering through all the hard times. But my question for you, if you're a non-believer, what is the goal for the non-believer? To gather more stuff? To have more money? There is an eternity. There is something after this life. So for the non-believer, what are you going to do with that afterwards? I'll let you know right now. You're not bringing it with you. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for showing us what it means to persevere through the hard times in life. Lord, may we never forget that the Great Commission is not just for outside the walls of this church, but inside the walls, inside our homes, inside our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, here in Fernley, here in Nevada, here in America, Lord. Lord, though we stumble and we fall, you still love us. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you that you have given us a mission worth seeing to the end. And we cannot wait to close our eyes on this side of eternity and to open over in the next and hear, "Well done." But that is only because of the work that your Son Jesus did on the cross, Lord. It's not the work that we do, but the work that he has already done. We thank you, and we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.